There were three. Am I on? Yeah. So there were three questions on the board, and I'll see. Maybe I can do all three. The shortest one is: is fear a hindrance? And that's a common question when we talk about the hindrances, because fear for many people can be a big hindrance. And it seems strange it's not listed there among the five hindrances. One reason it's not listed is that not all fear is a hindrance. Some fear is an aid, is supportive. And so there's the fear of doing unethical acts and causing harm. It's the fear of picking up things that we know is going to cause harm for ourselves, that we get close to that or we pick that up. It's, you know, that's I shouldn't do that. Or fear of, you know, saying the wrong thing and regretting it later. And there's a healthy kind of fear that Buddhism thinks that mature practitioners should have, a certain kind of fear. And then there's fear, which is pretty debilitating and is a hindrance. It gets in the way. And one way of distinguishing is that this is that anxiety is probably always a hindrance. Because anxiety, the way it's often understood, the word, is that it involves an act of imagination, the imaginary future, what might happen, what could happen. And so then we're definitely pulled into the world of imagination, that the world we often spin out in and often takes us away from ourselves. It becomes a covering. It becomes hinders wisdom and understanding and seeing the full picture. The other thing that's sometimes said about fear in relationship to hindrances is the unskillful kinds of fear. I'll say this way. People really want to, if there's only five hindrances, they have to put fear in somewhere. And so the unskillful kind of fear, they'll put into ill will, as if aversion is a kind of a pushing away or not wanting or very subtle kind of maybe hostility or ill will there. I think that's the best place it fits if you have to put it there. But I don't know if we have to. It can just be free-floating. So fear. And there are times in the practice when certain phases of practice where there can be a lot of fear that's called a dharma fear. Not that we're afraid of the dharma, but it comes out of the dharma practice. And it kind of seems to be like a layer of the mind as we go through it, where that just is what comes up sometimes quite strongly. And it's not a hindrance, it's not a mistake, it's just part of the one layer we have to go through. And then there's a question about cultivating compassion and kind of how to cultivate compassion with one's posture. So there's anything you can do about the stance you take. And a wonderful expression is the idea that you want to have a straight back and a soft front, soft belly. The idea if the chest can be open and kind of spread out and the belly can be soft, it might make you feel kind of vulnerable and therefore afraid. But it's an avenue, it's a way of kind of letting the heart begin to open, unfold, dissolve, spread, wake up. And so to kind of just have this open here. And some people who want to cultivate compassion or loving kindness, sometimes will put their hands on their chest like this. And just that physical contact sometimes can be a connection to that and allow it to grow. And the last question is, will you talk about regret, please, and forgiveness in the context of the practice, especially forgiving oneself and approaching making amends with another. A little bit tricky to use the words, you know, what people mean by words. And it's, you know, it's a little bit, it can be trying to hear someone then want to define the words, and it seems like it's kind of abstract, so I apologize for that. But there's a difference between regret and remorse. And other people might have used the words in the opposite ways that I'm using it, so don't get hung up on the word, but more the concept. And so for me, regret, remorse is feeling a certain kind of feeling, sad, feeling kind of off, feeling wish I hadn't done that, feeling a little bit, heavy-hearted for what you have done. Because, you know, if you do something that really hurts someone else, especially if you do it in a mean-spirited way or something, and you intentionally want to cause harm, and then you realize what you've done, and you feel bad about it, I think a certain kind of feeling bad about it is really healthy. If you kind of, you know, do something terrible to your best friend, and steal from them, and then lie, and you go through a litany of all possible unethical things you do for your best friend, and then you just kind of like go down the street, and skip and smile, and I'm just in the present moment, it's a blue sky, and nice day, and let's go surfing. that was yesterday, just be in the present moment. It's something, that's really weird. I think that's very unhealthy, that we have to kind of understand the impact we've had and live with it and take it in. I'm really sorry I did that. So in my vocabulary, I call that remorse. But maybe it's not how other people would do it. Regret, on the other hand, for me, is a feeling of really being weighed down by it, really being somehow angry with oneself, critical of oneself for what one done. So it's kind of like whipping oneself, and, you know, it's kind of like a form of aggression towards oneself. And it goes along with the Buddhist idea of guilt, that guilt is not a helpful emotion or an attitude, because guilt also, at least the way the Buddhists want to talk about it, involves an aversion or criticism or anger towards oneself, belittling of oneself. But remorse is healthy and appropriate, and it actually can be healing. It's actually a step towards further growth, to have certain kind of, that's unfortunate I did that. I don't feel good about it. And then the way that in the practice we can relate to things we've done which we have remorse with or regret from is we're more actually focused for looking into the future, how we can do better, than stuck in the past and what we did. So we learn from the past, we take the lessons in, we feel it emotionally, the impact of it, in an appropriate way. We don't want to ignore it. But the direction we're looking is towards the future. How can I do better? And so guilt kind of, weighs us down and keeps us kind of a victim of our own actions in a way. Whereas remorse, I think, is a very healthy movement. And you might apologize, you might make amends, all kinds of possible amends you have to make. Sometimes it's appropriate to do it directly to the person, and sometimes it's not appropriate to do it towards the person that we harmed, because occasionally we can, you know, depending on the person, the situation, we can actually cause more harm. I've known people who wanted to ask for forgiveness, and they didn't really care about the victim of their actions. They felt so bad they wanted relief for themselves, and the poor victim had to kind of deal with that. Now it's like the salt in the wound. So you have to be, the whole idea of what to do is kind of, so you know, tender. Forgiveness, I love the word forgiveness because it has the word giving in it. And so it's, I think of it as an act of generosity. And forgiveness is relevant when someone is angry, when someone has resentment, when someone feels hurt. And so so if I feel, you know, so if I'm carrying resentment, then it really helps me to give up that resentment. And I've learned that it's not really good enough just to give up the resentment, because if I end up being neutral in that kind of giving up, I probably haven't forgiven. I haven't really haven't let go of it fully. But to come from a place of generosity, of metta or goodwill. And so the movement of forgiveness in Buddhism is to let go of resentment and cultivate or have goodwill for the other person. And that's what I've come to understand in the practice. And or to ask for it, you know. I would like to apologize for what I did, and just leave it at that. And sometimes in English we ask for forgiveness is a way of kind of showing that we're really sincere, really, you know, own up to what we did. And it's also giving the person a little bit of power. But it's also sometimes if it's asking too much of someone, to ask to also to forgive. Now, on top of this, I have to forgive you. So it's a delicate thing, this whole world of regret, remorse, amends, forgiveness. So I don't have all the answers for how all this is done, but I think it's really healthy and beautiful thing that people are concerned about it, that people ask the question and feel that, you know, that this is something they want to explore, understand, work through. So I appreciate the question and hope that my long answer somehow touched the terrain enough to give you something to consider. So fear, compassion, and regret. Pretty basic human stuff that we sit with and work with. And may you come home in the middle of it all. May your home be big enough to hold all the human experiences that we have. And then I'd like to make one announcement. So when we renovated this building, the county had to treat us as some kind of, to fit into some category that they could make sense of and then hold us accountable to the building codes. And they put us in the category of hotel. And so there's all these things that we thought were not needed that we were required to do because we're a hotel. And so those really strong lights in the vestibules downstairs were a hotel. And but the and the suites downstairs, the outer vestibule. But also the heavy doors we have here with a heavy clicking, you know, mechanical devices for the, those are required. And what it means, the benefit for us, is that these are wonderful opportunities for mindfulness and generosity. The famous Catholic monk Thomas Merton was once asked, what did you learn your many years in the monastery? And he said, I learned to open and close doors. So we hope that you will learn and be careful with the doors and open them and close them very mindfully. And also when the ones that have like a knob that goes down, you can, you know, don't let it, you know, if you push it down and then close it and then lift it up, then that little thing won't click so much. Or certainly don't swing it and let it just kind of fall close, because it's really loud. And some people are very sensitive, sleep very lightly, and it's actually jarring for them to have this loud sound. So it's really helpful in this community to be careful with the doors. And the other thing to be careful for is if you're upstairs, the women are upstairs here, especially at night, the floor is not so well insulated with the bedrooms below. So if you can be really careful how you walk on your floor and do jumping jacks on the floor at night, you know, because it's, you know, again, we would like people to, we would like people to sleep. Sleep is the poor person's nirvana, they say. So, okay, so thank you all.